the 18th Sunday of Ordinary Time. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 6, verses 25 to 35. When the people saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into boats and crossed to Chaperon to look for Jesus. When they found him on the other side, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered, "I tell you most solemnly, you are not looking for me because you have seen the signs, but because you had all the bread you wanted to eat. Do not work for food that cannot last, but work for food that endures to eternal life. The kind of food the Son of Man is offering you, for on him the Father, God himself, has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do if we are to do the works that God wants?" Jesus gave them this answer, "This is working for God. You must believe in the one he has sent." So they said, "What sign will you give to show us that we should believe in you? What work will you do? Our fathers had manna to eat in the desert. As scripture says, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus answered, "I tell you most solemnly, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven. It is my Father who gives you the bread from heaven, the true bread. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "give us that bread always." Jesus answered, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never be hungry. He who believes in me will never thirst."
After the miracle of the loaves and fishes, Jesus and his apostles quietly leave the large crowd and sail across the Lake of Gennesaret. When the people and the remaining disciples realize Jesus is gone, they follow by boat and by land, and some arrive on the beach at Capernaum. From the beach, they go into the square and they cross, going towards the house. Jesus is at the door caressing some children. The disciples and some curious people crowd around him asking, "Master, when did you come?" "A few minutes ago." Jesus' countenance is still as majestically solemn, somewhat ecstatic, as when he has been engrossed in prayer for a long time. "Have you been praying, Master?" asks Stephen in a low voice and stooped down out of respect. "Yes, I have. What makes you understand that, my son?" asks Jesus, laying his hand on the disciple's dark hair with a kind caress. "It's your angelical face. I'm a poor man, but the expression of your face is so clear that one can read on it the emotions and deeds of your spirit." "Yours also is clear. You are one of those who remain children." "What is there on my face, Lord?" "Come aside and I'll tell you." And Jesus takes him by the wrist and leads him into a dark corridor. Charity, faith, purity, generosity, wisdom. God gave them to you and you have improved them. You will do so even more in future. And finally, in accordance with your name, you have a crown. It is of pure gold with a large gem glittering in front. On the gold and on the gem, there are two expressions engraved: predestination and early fruit. Be worthy of your destiny, Stephen. Go in peace with my blessing. And once again, Jesus rests his hand on Stephen's dark hair while Stephen kneels down and bends to kiss Jesus' feet. They go back to the others. "These people have come to hear you," says Philip. "It is not possible to speak here," Jesus replies. "Let us go to the synagogue. Jairus will be pleased." They go to the beautiful synagogue of Capernaum. Jesus leads the way and is followed by all the others in procession. Jairus greets them and he enters, giving instructions to leave all the doors open so that those who cannot go inside may hear him from the street and the square beside the synagogue. Jesus goes to his place in the friendly synagogue, in which, fortunately, there are no Pharisees today. They've probably already left for Jerusalem in full plumage. Jesus begins to speak. "I solemnly tell you, you are looking for me not to hear me or because of the miracles which you have seen, but because of the bread that I gave you to eat, to your fill and without any expense. 3/4 of you were looking for me for this reason, and also out of curiosity. And that is why you came from every part of our fatherland. So there is no supernatural spirit in your quest, which is dominated by human spirit with its unsound curiosities, or at least with childish curiosity. It is not simple childlike curiosity, but it is maimed like the intelligence of a dull-minded person. And linked to such curiosity, there is sensuality and debased feeling. Sensuality, as subtle as the demon whose daughter it is, hides behind appearances and seemingly good deeds. Debased feeling is simply a morbid deviation of sentiment, and like everything which is disease, it needs and craves after drugs, which are neither plain food, good bread, good water, unadulterated oil, nor the first milk which is sufficient to live and live well. Debased feeling needs extraordinary things to be roused, to feel the thrill of pleasure, the sickly thrill of paralyzed people who need drugs to feel that sensation which beguiles them into believing that they are still healthy and virile. It is the sensuality that wants to satisfy one's gluttony without work, in this case, with bread which was not hard-earned, but given by God's bounty. The gifts of God are not common ordinary things. They are special ones. One cannot claim them, nor can one become lazy and say, "God will give them to me." It is written, "You shall eat bread moistened with the sweat of your forehead," that is, the bread earned through hard work. He who is mercy said, "I feel sorry for these people who have followed me for 3 days and have nothing to eat and may faint on the way before they reach Hippo on the lake or Gamala or any other town." And he provided accordingly. But that does not imply that he is to be followed just because of that. I am to be followed for much more than a little bread, which becomes excrement after it is digested. I am to be followed not for the food that fills the stomach, but for that which nourishes the soul. You are not only animals which must browse and ruminate, or grout and get fat. You are souls. That is what you are. Your body is the garment, your being is the soul. It is the soul that lasts. Your body, like every garment, wears out and comes to an end. It is not worth taking so much care of it as if it were something perfect or deserving every care. Seek, therefore, what is just to attain, not what is unjust. Endeavour to obtain not the food that perishes, but that which lasts for eternal life. The Son of Man will always give it to you whenever you want it, because the Son of Man has at his disposal everything that comes from God, and he can give it. He is the master, the generous master of the treasures of the Father God, who has impressed his seal on him, so that no honest eye may be confused. And if you have the food that does not perish, you will be able to do the works of God, having been nourished with the food of God. Jesus is then asked, "What shall we do to work the deeds of God? We keep the law and respect the prophets, therefore we are already nourished with the food of God, and we do the works of God." "That is true," Jesus replies. "You keep the law, or better still, you know the law. But to know is not to practice. For instance, we know the laws of Rome, but no faithful Israelite puts them into practice, except in those specific cases when he is compelled to do so as a subject. The law, which you know, and the prophets, should in fact nourish you with God and make you capable of working the deeds of God. But in order to do so, they should have become one thing with you, like the air you breathe and the food you assimilate, which becomes your life and your blood. Instead, they are like strangers to you, although they belong to your house. They are just like an object in the house, which is known and useful to you, but will not interfere with your life if it were lost. Try not to breathe for a few minutes, or to go without food for days, and you will see that you cannot live. And that is how your ego should feel in your malnutrition and lacking the oxygen of the law and prophets, known to you but not assimilated, and thus not all one with you. That is what I've come to teach you and to give you, the juice and the air of the law and of the prophets, to give blood and breath back to your souls, dying from lack of food and oxygen. You are like children whom a disease has made unable to tell what can nourish them. You have plenty of food in front of you, but you do not know that it must be eaten to be changed into something vital. It must really become part of us through generous, pure loyalty to the law of the Lord, who spoke to Moses and the prophets on behalf of all of you. It is your duty, therefore, to come to me to receive the air and juice of eternal life. But that duty presupposes faith in you, because if one has no faith, one cannot believe my words. And if one does not believe, one cannot come to me and say, 'Give me the true bread.' And if you do not have the true bread, you cannot work the deeds of God, because you are unable to do them. So, in order to be nourished by God and to work the deeds of God, you must do the basic work, which is to believe in him whom God sent." Jesus is then asked, "But what miracles do you work, that we may believe that you have been sent by God, and we may see the seal of God upon you? What do you do which the prophets have not already done, although in a more modest form? Nay, Moses exceeded you, because he fed our ancestors with wonderful food, not once, but for 40 years. It is in fact written that our forefathers ate manna in the desert for 40 years. And it is written that Moses gave them the bread of heaven to eat, as he was able to do so." "You are wrong," says Jesus. "Not Moses, but the Lord was able to do so. In Exodus we read, 'Now I will rain down bread from the heavens. Let the people go out and gather what is sufficient for each day, so that I may test whether the people will follow my law or not. And on the sixth day they will gather twice as much, out of respect for the seventh day, which is the Sabbath.' And the Hebrews every morning saw the desert become covered with that delicate thing that resembles what is pounded in a mortar, is like hoarfrost and coriander seed, and has the lovely taste of flour kneaded with honey. So it was not Moses, but God who supplied manna. God can do everything. He can punish and bless. He can grant and take away. And I tell you that he always prefers to bless and grant rather than punish and take away. The Book of Wisdom, according to Ecclesiasticus, states that Moses was beloved by God and men of blessed memory, was made by God the equal of the holy ones in glory, was strong to the terror of his enemies, was able to work miracles and stop them, was raised high in the respect of kings, was his minister before the people, saw the glory of God and heard the voice of the Most High, and was the guardian of the precepts and of the law of life and science. God, out of love for Moses, nourished his people with the bread of angels. From heaven he untiringly sent them bread already prepared, containing every delight, satisfying every taste. And remember what wisdom says. As it came from heaven, from God, and demonstrated his sweetness towards his children, it tasted as each eater wished, and produced the effects that each person wanted, and was thus useful to babies whose stomachs are still delicate, to adults enjoying good appetites and healthy digestions, and to delicate girls and to decrepit old people. And to testify that it was not the work of man, it overturned the laws of elements. This mysterious bread, which at sunrise melted like frost, endured fire. Or rather, it is still wisdom speaking, fire forgot its own nature out of respect for the work of God, its creator, and for the needs of the just people of God. So that while it burns to torture, in this case it became mild to assist those who confided in God. Therefore, by transforming itself in many ways, it served the grace of the Lord, nourishing everyone according to the will of those who prayed to the Eternal Father. In this way, the beloved children might learn that it is not the reproduction of fruit which nourishes men, but it is the word of the Lord that preserves those who believe in God. Men should learn and remember that the gifts of God are to be sought from the very beginning of the day and of life, and that one must anticipate light to receive them and rise and pray to the Father at daybreak. That is what manna taught the Hebrews. And I am reminding you because that duty still lasts and will last forever. Seek the Lord and his celestial gifts without idling until the late hours of the day or of life. Rise and praise him before the rising sun does, and feed on his word, which consecrates, preserves, and leads to true life. It was not Moses who gave you the bread of heaven, but it was God the Father. And now I solemnly tell you that it is my Father who gives you the new bread, the eternal bread, which descends from heaven, the bread of mercy, the bread of life, the bread that gives life to the world, the bread that satisfies every hunger and removes all lethargy, the bread that gives eternal life and eternal joy to those who eat it. Give us some of that bread, Lord, and we shall not die. You will die as every man dies, but you will rise to eternal life if you feed in a holy way on that bread, because those who eat it become incorruptible. With regard to giving it, it will be given to those who ask my Father for it with pure hearts upright intentions and holy charity. That is why I taught you to say, "Give us our daily bread." But those who eat it unworthily will become swarms of infernal worms, like the baskets of manna kept contrary to the instructions received. And the bread of health and life will become conviction and death for them, because the greatest sacrilege will be committed by those who place that bread on a corrupt, foul, spiritual table and profane it by mixing it with the sink of their incurable passions. It would have been better if they had never taken it. But where is that bread? How can we find it? What is its name? I am the bread of life. You will find it in me. Its name is Jesus. He who comes to me will never be hungry again, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty again, because celestial rivers will flow into him, quenching all material ardour.